Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Burns and Gambo. The 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort AC and Plumbing. Proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
These top stories of the day presented to you at 4 o'clock every day here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We like to call it the 4 o'clock reset. This is one-stop shopping for you when you want to get caught up on everything going on in sports. Starting today with Jonathan Gannon, and we'll dive a little deeper into some of the other things he talked about coming up in the next segment of the show. But let's do a rapid-fire react here to some of the things that he had to say when he met with the media at the owners' meeting this morning. On DeAndre Hopkins.
Right now, I'm operating under the premise that Hops are starting X, and people are going to have to defend him. So, that's probably a better question for Monty, but he's been great, and I'm looking forward to getting to work with him, too. So, everyone that has a jersey right now, I'm looking forward to coaching and fitting them all in together.
Right now. Right now, he's here. I'm looking forward to coaching him right now. So, you know, with that, obviously they've given DeAndre Hopkins permission to seek a trade, to talk to other teams. So right now he's a Cardinal. Will he be a Cardinal in 2 weeks? Probably not.
On Isaiah Simmons and needing to see Isaiah Simmons in action before any decisions are made.
Even though we might have a vision for him and he might say, you know, I can do this, this, and this, let's make sure he's comfortable with what we're asking him to do mentally and physically. So that'll take a little bit of feeling out from both sides, but we got time before we line up in, you know, week one in September, so I'm not going to rush that.
You don't have time before the deadline to give him that fifth-year option on his contract. That is May 1st. That is coming up.
$12.7 million. They've got to make a decision before he plays for Jonathan Gannon whether to pick up the fifth-year option or not.
And then free agency so far and their level of activity so far in free agency.
I feel like we added some really good pieces. Some guys are coming in and create some competition with some of those position groups. The other thing I like that Monty and I were kind of in lockstep about is some of those guys have major versatility. And so that's good when you're kind of adding pieces in for some competition, but guys can play multiple positions.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure they're signing players that they think are versatile, could play a bunch of different roles. They've added a few linebackers, which is somewhat surprising. They definitely needed one, but I think they've added like three. No big name signings in free agency. They're not spending big money. And, you know, he kind of hinted that that's not the way you build a football team.
Yeah, no, that free agency is not the path to building a football team. We'll dive more into those comments later, but certainly the fans have been a little more critical of the Cardinals all season when it comes to free agency than maybe the message that we heard today. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get into what he had to say about Kyler Murray and the NFLPA report card as well. We turn our attention now to the Suns. Beat the Jazz last night, 117-103. The big story was once again the bench last night. Devin Booker led the Suns in scoring with 24, but 12 from Campaign, 11 from Bismack Biyombo, 13 from Terrence Ross, another 9 from Warren and Ish Wainwright. They were good. In fact, so good that head coach Monty Williams is considering not shrinking his rotation come playoff time.
You never know. You know, in the playoffs, sometimes the game will tell you what you need to do. Sometimes the players and how they're playing will tell you. I have an open mind about that stuff. Yeah, we may shrink the rotation, but as much as you want to shrink the rotation to 9.5 or whatever crazy thing I come up with, sometimes you may have to do what you have to do to get a win.
68 points against Sacramento, 53 against Philly, 57 versus the Jazz for that bench. T.J. Warren, Ross Payne, Biyombo, Ish Wainwright, everybody's been playing well. Hard to find a guy that's not playing well on that bench right now.
What's interesting is the different combinations he's tried. Like, Ish didn't play a couple of games ago. Ish played big minutes last night, right? T.J. Warren was invisible a week ago. Now he's playing all the time and playing very well. There hasn't been a lot of consistency with the minutes in the play, and that's been the most fascinating thing to watch about it. Sticking with the Suns, Shams Charania reported, once again, Kevin Durant is expected to make his home debut tomorrow against Minnesota. Nothing official from the Suns organization, but that is the expectation. Charles Barkley, Suns great, was on Bickley and Marotta this morning to talk about a lot of things, but of course, a lot was on the comments that he made on 60 Minutes on CBS about Kevin Durant being sensitive. He did not back down.
He's a great, great player. I think he's a good guy, too. But he is sensitive, and I'm not worried about it. Don't even think about it.
No, I don't think he does. But obviously Durant does. Durant thinks about it. you know, he's obviously, you know, feels that Chuck goes a little overboard with his criticism of him.
Yeah. Diamondbacks ended their spring training today. 3-1 win against the Guardians at Chase Field. Ryan Nelson, 5 2/3 innings, 4 hits with 1 run and 5 strikeouts. We had Zach Gallen on today. He's very confident about his team with opening day approaching.
We have the talent, you know, whether it's on the veteran side, the young side, pitching, the defense, the base running, all the way to, you know, just our analytics staff. I think this is going to be an exciting year for us. I haven't been able to say that with full-on confidence so far in my big league career. I'm really excited.
I should be. I mean, that infusion of youth last year with Corbin Carroll and Alec Thomas and McCarthy and just some of the pitchers that came up. I mean, it gave that team a jolt. It really did, and they started to play much better baseball.
Yeah, it did. He gets the opening day start against the Dodgers. That is coming up in about 48 hours on Thursday. Also, you reported, Gambo, some final decisions made with the Arizona Cardinals in terms of their roster. They are?
Yeah, they're going to keep. We reported this early this morning. It was the Diamondbacks announced it about 40 minutes ago. We reported Carlos Vargas had won the final spot in the bullpen, and that Jose Herrera did get a spot on the roster and will be the backup catcher to Carson Kelly. We reported that this morning in the 10 o'clock hour. Diamondbacks confirmed those moves about 40 minutes ago.
Diamondbacks also said that pitcher Joe Mantiply out of the bullpen is headed to the injured list with shoulder fatigue. Kyle Nelson is being recalled and will take his spot in the bullpen. Turning to the National Football League, two groups, one led by a couple of guys and another led by a Canadian billionaire, have both submitted $6 billion bids to buy the Washington Commanders. Should Dan Snyder choose to sell the team, he's at least got two groups and perhaps a third coming willing to meet his $6 billion price tag to sell it. We'll see if a sale is shortcoming.
And there's some rich people out there that want to buy a football team. Like really rich people.
There sure are. From the NBA last night, the big games that mattered the most for the Suns, probably Minnesota beating Sacramento 119-115. Minnesota making a little bit of a push for the fifth seed, perhaps, and maybe a first-round matchup against the Suns.
Yeah, I'm almost surprised at how well they have played. And they had a big game at Edwards and Rudy Gobert with 16 points and 16 rebounds. And Naz Reid was big as well. And yeah, that's a nice win for them on the road against a good Sacramento team.
Yeah, the other one
struggled from three.
Yeah, a couple of others last night that had some bearing. The Clippers beat the Chicago Bulls 124-112. Nicholas Batum, 24 points.
Yeah, Westbrook played well. He had 10 assists, 12 points, 41 assists as a team as the Clippers get that win and, you know, trying to get that, you know, fourth or fifth spot in the West and right on the heels of the Phoenix Suns.
Dallas beat the Indiana Pacers last night 127-104, ends their four-game losing streak. Luka Doncic had 27 in
the
win.
Look, there was a story I sent to you today about the Mavs should just tank it and get into the lottery and see what happens because this team's just not good enough.
Yeah, it might be something we talk a little bit more about tomorrow. The Clippers, as it is right now, they're a game behind the Suns in the loss column. They're in fifth. Minnesota, two games back of the Suns in the loss column. They're in sixth. Then you get into the play-in territory where Golden State, the Pelicans, the Lakers, and the Thunder are sitting. The games to watch tonight, Golden State taking on New Orleans, OKC versus Charlotte. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander not going to play in that game for OKC tonight. And then this news from ASU, freshman guard Austin Nunez going to enter the NCAA transfer portal. That, according to 24/7 Sports, appeared in 28 games, 4.5 points. He was good. I liked him. A lot of Sun Devil fans liked him. This is disappointing.
This is the new world that we're in with college basketball. I mean, it's every year, like, this is not, you shouldn't be shocked by this. I mean, the amount of players that are going in the portal every year, and you're not happy with your situation, or you think you can improve your situation, go in the portal, go somewhere else. Rosters are going to be rebuilt on the fly from now on in college basketball.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then this just coming down from the National Football League, the NFL has announced that teams can now have two Thursday night football games per season, not just one.
Okay.
Thursday night football games are hell on travel and bodies and the quality of play.
Yeah.
It seems like they're giving themselves the ability to try to create better matchups on Thursday night football because oftentimes Thursday night games aren't very good. So now they're changing the rules so high-profile teams can now play twice on Thursday instead of just once. If you're a player, I can't imagine you're going to be a big fan of this.
No, not coming off of a game on a Sunday and having a turnaround time. I mean, that's... Now, you like, of course, you like it on the other way when you almost like at that mini bye, you get those extra days off. But it's not, you know, it's not great for the health of the players. They say they care about the health of the players, but that Thursday night game does not show that.
Grammy award-winning artist Muse heading to Desert Diamond Arena this Sunday. We are giving you your shot to win tickets. Head to the contest page at ArizonaSports.com. You'll find all the details and your chance to win as well. How does the Arizona Cardinals head coach feel about his quarterback as he's coming back from a major injury? You'll hear that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo. Afternoons on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
All right, welcome back to Burns and Gambo. Today, we kind of decided that our top story was some of the comments Jonathan Gannon made today. The new head coach of the Cardinals was meeting with the media, as all the NFC coaches did, from the owners' meetings, in large part because we're 2 weeks into free agency, 2.5 weeks into free agency, and we haven't heard a lot about what's going on with the team, right? I mean, we know the moves that they're making, but in terms of the why and things like that, we haven't heard. And we haven't gotten the explanation necessarily and kind of the thoughts behind what's going on in the philosophy. So there's been a lot of Gannon talk today and a lot of what he said. We have not really gotten into some of the stuff that he had to say about Kyler. Now, we'll get into the free agency stuff a little bit later because that's kind of the stuff that I know you and I have talked a lot about the last couple of weeks. But let's talk about Kyler and what Jonathan Gannon had to say about Kyler with an update on Kyler's rehab today.
It's going great. He's doing well. I know he was in Dallas checking with a surgeon the last week, but he's in there, you know, every day working on his rehab, and I think he's ready to get to the next phase. And like I said, Kyler's been great. He's attacked his rehab. He's doing everything that he needs to do, and he's chomping at the bit to get back.
It's a lot of guys you inherit that you could say, you know, I'm not going to keep that guy. Could be a Byron Murphy. Could be a Zach Allen. Could be a DeAndre Hopkins. You don't have that luxury with Kyler just because of the contract. You just don't have that luxury. Now, you could get Kyler, you know, maybe after a year, you could start to make plans like, this isn't the guy for my system. But in the meantime, you got to try to make that relationship work, okay? Because that's your starting quarterback. There's a lot of money invested in him. And I'm sure Michael Bidwell wasn't sitting there saying, hey, you know, I'm going to hire the guy that thinks that Kyler should be gone. No, you've got to hire the guy that's going to try to make that investment work. Whether it's a square peg in a round hole, I don't know. But he's got to say all the right things because at this point, right now, they've got to try to make this work between Gannon and Kyler Murray.
There was also a line in there I thought was very important. He said he's in here every single day. And I'm reading a story from Darren Urban over at AZ Cardinals. Gannon reiterated that Kyler Murray is at the Dignity Health Training Center daily. That's important.
That's great.
I like that a lot. If for no other reason, you got kind of eyes on the prize and he's there and they can see him and he can see them and there can be communication and all that. As far as the timeline for Kyler's return, it's vague. We don't know, and Jonathan Gannon says he's not focused on it anyway.
Yeah, not really concerned with a timeline, honestly. I mean, like I said, there's a long time before we line up and play a game, but when Kyler is fully ready to play mentally and physically, that's when he'll play. So I don't put timelines on guys coming back from injuries. I really don't do that because you're always wrong when you do that. So whenever he's ready to play, he'll play.
It's fair. I mean, I tell you, completely fair. Not going to put a timeline in it because I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe he's out a game, maybe three games, five. Right now, we don't know. We could look at a proper. See, everybody heals differently, right? Sure. Everybody heals differently. But we do know the basis for it probably means that Kyler's going to miss some games based on what the norm is, that he's probably going to miss some time this year and not play in the beginning of the season.
I also think the approach of the offseason has a lot to do with the timeline for Kyler. They don't need Kyler to rush back. I mean, look at what they've done in free agency so far. Look at how they've approached roster building so far. Look at who they've let go so far.
But what if it was about evaluating Kyler this year? If you're the head coach and you're saying, look, we're going to be bad. I'm going to have a top five pick. What if you have a top five pick next year and it's a quarterback you love and you're not sold on Kyler? So the more he does see Kyler, the better evaluation he's going to be able to make.
I agree. But, okay, I'm assuming you're getting Kyler for at least half the season. You know, I would assume that I'm going to have.
Enough.
And that's enough. Okay. I'm going to have 8 games to see Kyler Murray. I don't know that for a fact. I'm assuming I'm going to get him for at least that much time to be able to see him. I just think the way they've approached the season, it's there's no rush, and it's kind of baked into Kyler's rehab now. There's really no rush. This roster doesn't look like it's one of the best in the NFL, and that's being very kind.
No, it's terrible.
I was just trying to be nice. Yeah. Kelvin Beachum. Remember what he said to us on March 8th?
Right.
When he was in studio with us?
What does he have to do, in your opinion, to be great?
Grow up.
Give me an example.
Be a man and grow up. Like, it's not complicated. You got to be a leader of men, period.
And he's not right now.
He's maturing.
But he's not there yet.
He's not there. It's not a completed process.
It's not a completed process.
Jonathan Gannon was asked about that today. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I didn't hear those comments. I'm not going to read what's in the media or talk about other people's opinions, but I know Beach is on board with how we want to do things, and he's a team-first guy, and looking forward to getting, you know, on the grass with him and seeing what he can do. And all of our guys know that it's got to be team-first, and, you know, because that's how you build a consistent winner. So I like where our guys are at with that, and we'll continue to educate them with how we want things done, and everyone be behind everybody on the team.
You have potential. You have potential. Of course he heard the comments. Come on.
Of course he did.
You know, I mean, he's just going to pretend he didn't hear him, so he doesn't have to really comment on it. But of course, listen, everybody in that organization heard those comments. That's one of your offensive linemen criticizing your quarterback. Yes, everybody heard those comments.
And they brought him back, which is in some ways an endorsement of the comments, aren't they?
I don't know that that's a good question. I don't know that's an endorsement. It's
openly opposed to what he had to say and worried that what he had to say might destroy or at least harm things in the locker room, then don't bring him back.
They certainly weren't worried about it and didn't think it was going to be a big deal in the locker room. The only person that came out critical of Beachum was Kyler's boy, Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the only one. Nobody else.
Right. Maybe endorsement is a strong word, but certainly they didn't think it would be a problem.
No, it's not going to be a problem.
If they listened to what he said and like, oh man, should we bring him back or not? They brought him back like 3 days after he said those comments on our show. So I certainly think they didn't have a problem with it because there was evidence in the fact that they signed him as quickly as they did. Here is where I want to play the you have potential, you have potential. That's the NFLPA report card that came out.
No, I still haven't read the report card, so no. No decision that I make is going to be predicated on a report card or a media story or a narrative out there. I don't do business like that, so we'll evaluate how we want to evaluate things and then make changes from there.
You have potential. You have... Oh, boy.
Isn't it his job to read the report?
Of course he read the report. Okay, Liz, listen. Of course he read the report. Of course he heard Kelvin Beachum's comments. Of course he read the report. How do you not read the report? I mean, he's the head of the organization right now. Okay, he's the face of the franchise. He's the face of the organization. You don't think he's going to read a report card that's damning? As a matter of fact, they let the trainer go.
Yeah, which he confirmed today.
He
confirmed Kyle Odegaard's report.
I mean, to sit there and say that he didn't read the report. I mean, come on. I mean, nobody believes that.
I understand you say things in total transparency. You're never going to get it. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I'm not 12. I understand how this works. You're never going to get total transparency. But I think it's your duty to read that. And I don't think there's anything wrong in saying I read it. You know, I looked at it. We want to learn from it. We want to grow from it. We want to get better because of it. Now, he was asked a question about making the improvements that the players asked for, and he talked about what he talked about with Michael before he got the job.
Yeah, I've had really good conversation with some players, and obviously I've been around some of these guys, you know, before different teams. And, you know, I'm always going to listen to the players about certain things, and they said, you know, a couple things that they thought could be a little bit better, a couple things that we do really well that they wanted to make sure I kept in place and didn't remove. Because I asked about a couple things, they're like, no, make sure you keep that, you know what I mean? So we'll always do everything that we do, guys, with the decisions will be driven with the players in mind first, and that's how we'll operate.
But I don't see the harm in acknowledging, yeah, I read the report card, and yeah, we've got some work to do, and yeah, we're working on it. I mean,
if you ignore, if you say you didn't, then you know people can't ask you to comment on the grades and how poor they were. Yes. So when you say I didn't read it, what's your follow up question? Well, if you didn't read it, I mean, the thing is, like, shouldn't you read it? Like, you're the face of the organization. Of course, he read it. Like, he read it. He heard Kelvin Beachum's. There are answers you can give that can kind of shut down a conversation, and that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to shut down the conversation so it doesn't go on and on and on. I heard what Beachum said. Well, you know, how damaging is that? Are you concerned about, you know, Kyler and Beachum? Are you concerned concerned about the lot. Like, there's a lot you can follow up with on that once he says that he did hear those comments. If he says he didn't hear the comments, you have a lot less to follow up on.
All right, when we come back, and that's a good point, by the way. A week ago, he said he was going to shrink the rotation. Fast forward to a week later. Has Monty Williams changed his mind, changed his tune? Is it the right decision, or is it still too soon to tell? Well, Guy, we'll dive into all of that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
Arizona Sports,
the local sports leader.
Suns run to the playoffs coverage. Brought to you by Canvas Annuity. Score up to 6.25% on your retirement savings.
Now Terrence Ross trying to answer. Left wing free. He got that one to rattle home. Right corner Warren. Pull up jumper on the baseline. Up and in. Campaign on the drive against Juzang. Takes him all the way into the lane. And the floater goes for the left-handed turbo.
Last three games, Suns bench averaging about 60 points per game. 68 Friday against Sacramento. 53 on Saturday against Philly. 57 on Monday against Utah. Some of that, of course, is a function of no Kevin Durant. Some of that is a function of no DeAndre Ayton.
And playing good defense, which Campaign pointed out when he was on with us. They're playing good defense.
They are. Yeah. And some of it, look, I was watching TJ Warren a lot last night. He has some good defensive moments out there. He's not known for that. He was okay. Look, they don't. TJ Warren, Terrence Ross, they don't need to be outstanding defensively. They don't need to be great defensively.
Just gotta try.
They just not need to be major liabilities out there defensively.
Well, when you score and they score and you score and they score, then you're not, Monty's going to be forced to bring back the starters. But what they've done in the last couple of games is they've scored and got to stop, then scored and got to stop. And I think what Campaign talked about is we're getting out and we're running. We're not, like, they didn't allow the Jazz to set up. The Jazz had to play a zone last night a lot because they don't have the athletes to, that against Laurie Markkanen and Kessler, and they just can't match up with the Suns. So they tried to go into a zone quite often yesterday. But if you can get out in transition, block a shot, grab a rebound, run, you don't allow them to do that. So the Suns were very good at that last night.
Yeah, look, I mean, you think about Terrence Ross and kind of the first few games he played with the Phoenix Suns, he was abysmal defensively. I mean, just like almost unplayable, right? Because he was just so bad out there. He doesn't need to be great. Nobody's asking Terrence Ross to be Mikal Bridges. No one's asking TJ Warren to be Jay Crowder. Just be good enough that we can leave you out there, because offensively, you're going to more than make up for it as long as you're competent defensively. And that's part of what's been going on here. Mm-hmm. It's been nice. It's been refreshing to see. Now, how much of it changes when Kevin Durant comes back on Wednesday? I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out. Monty Williams was talking last night about, hey, you know what? Maybe I won't shrink things up when it comes to the bench when we get KD back.
You never know. You know, in the playoffs, sometimes the game will tell you what you need to do. Sometimes the players and how they're playing will tell you. I have an open mind about that stuff. Yeah, we may shrink the rotation, but, you know, we may have to throw D-Lee out there like we did at the end of the first half. He comes in cold. He hits a three. And then Landry, they were, they had bigger guys out there and they were forcing some switches. And so we felt like Ish would be a better defender against those bigger guys and switches. And he comes in not knowing if he's going to play. And so as much as you want to shrink the rotation to 9.5 or whatever crazy thing I come up with, sometimes you may have to do what you have to do to get a win. And that's what we did tonight.
I think that teams, when KD comes back, the Suns are going to have this incredible lineup. Teams are going to have to take advantage of the Suns bench. Maybe you keep you keep one or two of your starters in when the Suns go to their bench. That's when you're going to have to try to make up deficits and try to get ahead, because it's going to be hard to outscore the Suns with Book playing the way he is. And if KD comes back strong, Paul DA. So you're going to want to try to take advantage of the bench. Now, no matter what you say, I just don't see all of these guys playing in the playoffs. I just don't see it. I mean, it sounds good in theory, but it really never really works out that way, because KD's a guy that plays almost every minute of every game. Booker's going to play a lot. Maybe Biz and Landale play for DA. You could sub there. And I think Chris for Cam. But I just don't know if I see the ability to play as many guys in the playoffs as he's playing now with the amount of minutes that you're going to relegate to Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
No, I suspect that the minutes for those guys will go down, but they're interchangeability will remain the same. And what I mean by that is that if you've got a night where Terrence Ross is abysmal defensively, all right, don't play him. You know, don't play him and go with Ish. But if you have a night where you're struggling to make shots and you feel like you need a guy like Terrence Ross out there, then give him those minutes. I don't see any of those guys cutting into KD's minutes, Book's minutes, Ayton's minutes. Chris Paul, maybe a little bit because of his age, and I think campaign, you know, the way he's playing, okay, I can see that a little bit. I think what I'm talking about is the stars are going to get their minutes. I'm just talking about whatever's left in terms of minutes in the game. Game one, you might see TJ and Ish, and you might see Terrence. Game two, maybe it's more of a Damian Lee kind of game, right? Like, that might change just based off of who's hot, who's not, who's playing well, who's a good fit, and who's a good matchup. I could see that part changing.
I don't know that I see a lineup of Cameron Payne, Bismack Biyombo, Terrence Ross, TJ Warren, and Ish Wainwright playing 6 minutes into the fourth quarter of a basketball game.
No, of course, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I mean, and I understand you might be right. And it may be situations depending on. Now, if you're ahead by a lot, he may give those guys a run. And if they can keep the lead, okay.
Kevin Durant or Devin Booker,
they're not,
will always be on the floor with those guys. All right, not both, but during the playoffs, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker will always be on the floor at all times. One of them.
You would think.
They'll never not be out there. One of them will always be out there. So just by that standpoint alone, you'll never get a situation where you've got five bench guys out there. That part's, I'm just saying who those other four are out there, who those other two are out there, depending on which starters Monty has on the floor, those might change game to game.
You know the guy we're not talking about right now? Landry Shamet.
No, he's okay.
Came out of the gates on fire two games. Now he's not hitting any shots.
I mean, look at this weird roller coaster we've ridden with the Suns bench the last couple of weeks.
TJ down, up.
You follow the stock market, right? It's like TJ stock up, Landry's down. A week ago, TJ stock was down, Landry's was up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. Bismack stock is way up right now. 2 weeks ago, it was Jock's stock that was way up, and Bismack, who was down. That's the part about this. 3 weeks ago, Terrence Ross's defense had his stock down. Now his stock is up because he's playing decent out there. That's the volatility of it. It is like the stock market. It's like the volatility of these players and what they provide. It's changing game to game, week to week, even last night. Like, who were the two guys on the floor with the starters to close out that game? It was Ish Wainwright,
yes,
and TJ Warren. A week ago, those guys weren't getting any run in any games. At least there was one game last week where Ish didn't play at all. Not a bit. TJ Warren was struggling to get minutes. Now they're closing out a game in the fourth quarter on the road against the Jazz.
Look,
that's the weird part.
Offensively and defensively, after everybody on the bench, the guy I trust the most offensively is TJ Warren. I trust TJ Warren. He's a scorer. Defensively, out of all those guys, it's Ish Wainwright for me. So if you said, hey, you got to have one guy that's going to come off the bench and score, I trust TJ Warren more than I trust Terrence Ross. As a scorer.
Because of what you said earlier, I would agree with you. Terrence Ross has never met a shot he didn't like.
He shoots a lot.
And it's fine in the regular season. You don't want him shooting you out of a game, right? Like, and he was struggling to find a shot. That second quarter especially, man, that corner three, felt like he took three in a row. And every single time, it was short, it was long, back of the iron, front of the iron, right? Like, he just couldn't quite find the right release point to get it to do what he wanted to do. So I would agree that I would trust TJ more as a scorer than Terrence.
And defensively, I mean, Ish plays hard. He's got a big body, he's strong, he's tough to move out. I mean, I think I trust him defensively more than any of the other bench players.
Well,
I'm not counting, like, Bismack Biyombo. I think that speaks for itself defensively as a center. But as far as being able to guard on the ball, I like Ish.
Yeah. Campaign, when he was talking after the game, talking about the bench easing the minutes load on the starters.
I mean, when we get stops, man, it kind of helped the bench unit out for sure. And that's what we've been doing the past two games, man. We've been getting stops, and they've been keeping us on the floor. I've been trying to control the game, control the pace. And then, man, like I said, defense, man, take care of everything. And we keep locking up, man, we'll keep getting more minutes.
Now, all of this might not mean a hill of beans come tomorrow when Kevin Durant is back. You know, every conversation we're having about the bench might go out the window.
Yeah,
but you're going to have to play those guys during the postseason. Not a lot, but you're going to have to play them. And those guys, they might not win you a series. They will win you a game within the series if one of them gets hot. Like, can I see TJ Warren winning the Suns a game in a series? Yes, I can see that. I could absolutely see him winning a game three of a series.
I buy that logic that a guy can win you a game. But to win a series, it still come down to you. But yes, for one game, yeah, you might have a guy just have a great game. And he campaign won a couple of games against the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs 2 years ago. He was so good, they couldn't stop him. So it is possible that a guy like that can win you a game.
This is your last shot to participate in the madness. Text the word Bucks to 620-620. Sure. Choose from the last. You won. What do you mean you quit? It's the third time you've surrendered now when it comes to your March Madness.
I won,
bracket.
And I had only one Elite Eight team.
Well, fortunately, our friends over at Santan Ford and Schwartz Laser Eye Center are making it so you can still win. Not you, because you're ineligible. Text the word Bucks to 620-620. Choose from the last four teams for your chance at $250. Again, text the word Bucks.
I'll take UConn.
To 620-620. Yeah, me too. They were just the favorite to land DeAndre Hopkins a week ago. And they're out? Are they? Or is it leverage? Next on Burns and Gambo.
Burns and Gambo. Arizona Sports. The local sports leader.
Now listen, we've said 100 times.
Back here on the Burns and Gambo Show, Arizona Sports. The local sports leader. Are the Buffalo Bills out on DeAndre Hopkins? Were they ever in on DeAndre Hopkins?
That's a good question. I thought they might have been in on him.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they might have been in on him, but there's some reports that maybe they are not.
The writer for the Athletic website who covers the Bills for the Athletic tweeted out that they're out. They are not in on DeAndre Hopkins. Here's Brandon Bean. He's the general manager of the Bills on Hop and the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the Arizona Cardinals, and so I know the social media world. Derek does a great job of keeping me in the loop of that. And so, you know, what I would say is social media, don't take that too far. But again, you know me, when we've talked about OBJ guys that are, you know, we're always going to look for talent. And so we're going to look at anything and everything. And, you know, our name gets thrown in the hat a lot of things that sometimes we've done 1%. One person made one call and they've looped us in that we're all over them and we've offered them a contract. And, you know, it's funny sometimes. But, yeah, that's as far as I can go into it. You know, he's on another team.
But again, and I struggled to find the tweet. I found it finally. Listen to the wording of the tweet and tell me that there's not wiggle room in this. All right. Tim Graham tweeted out, he's the writer that I'm talking about from The Athletic. Barring a significant development, the Bills are not trading for DeAndre Hopkins.
What's a significant development? The Cardinals come down on their price?
Ding, ding, ding.
That's a significant development.
Yeah. So it's like Jonathan Gannon today at the coach's breakfast at
right
the media
now.
Availability. I am operating under the idea right now that Hopkins will be in Arizona.
Right now, I'm operating under the premise that...
Stop right there. Right now.
Okay.
Right now. I am operating under the premise that Hopkins will be in Arizona. Now, whether it's a phrase like right now, whether it's a phrase like, quote, barring a significant development, close quote, there's wiggle room galore in all of that, right? Things can change in a New York minute with stuff
things
like
change.
That.
But the truth is, what he said is absolutely true. Because I talk with a lot of teams around the league in different sports, and, you know, you know something will get out from a team where I'll talk to a team and I'll be like, that stuff is totally untrue. That team called, we talked for a second, but like, we never made any offers. We didn't. But another team will put it out there, and it's like, man, the Suns have dealt with that so many times that there's reports that are out there that they're talking about this guy and that guy, and they never talked about those guys.
But this one was a little different because it was DeAndre Hopkins himself, and it was the Buffalo Soldier tweet. Right?
Yes.
That this one's a little different than media guy said this, or these sources are saying that, or I'm hearing this, or I'm hearing that, right? This was the player himself who, you know, knows that we're in a feeding frenzy for information, who tweets out a picture of him in a convertible driving away with the lyrics to Buffalo Soldier from Bob Marley and the Wailers up there, right? And so you see that and you go, okay, that's That's DeAndre Hopkins who's saying this. And it's hard not to take a leap and go, well, you know what? Buffalo would be a hell of a landing spot for DeAndre Hopkins, right?
So that's he could also be trying to stir it up, you know? Maybe he talked to a couple of Bills players that want him to go there, and he just put it out there, right, without talking to anybody in the organization or anything. So we don't know. We know he's still a Cardinal. They're operating like he's going to be a Cardinal. But if they could trade him, they've obviously given him permission to seek a trade. They'd be open to trade him if they can get the right package back, I'm sure. Sure.
That was the report that came out yesterday, is that he now has permission to be able to go speak to other teams. Albert Breer said the Cardinals are allowing other NFL teams permission to speak with Hop to help facilitate a trade. That the initial ask to get a second rounder and another asset has fallen flat, and that there are teams waiting to see the price come down in the wake of the Brandon Cooks trade. So to try to facilitate something, Arizona has given teams permission to speak to Hopkins and his agent. Out of respect, I'll play the rest of the Jonathan Gannon soundbite so you can hear what he had to say about DeAndre Hopkins today at the coach's breakfast.
Right now, I'm operating under the premise that Hop's our starting X, and people are going to have to defend him. So, that's probably a better question for Monty, but he's been great, and I'm looking forward to getting to work with him, too. So everyone that has a jersey right now, I'm looking forward to coaching and fitting them all in together.
Follow me here.
Okay.
Follow me here.
Do I have a choice?
No, not really. The Hopkins trade, when the Cardinals made it, I mean, it looked like a good trade, right?
Oh, yeah, it looked like a great trade.
If you could go back and do it all over again, would you still do it? Let me follow me on this.
Okay.
You gave up a second-round pick in 2020. You ended up trading your first-round pick for Hollywood Brown because Hopkins got suspended for 6 months. There was good Stephon Diggs, Diggs was available in 2020. You could have got Tyler Linderbaum as your pick this year. I don't know, like, I never thought about it like this, but I looked at it today. Now, they got a pick that ended up being Rashad Lawrence, but he's always been hurt. Mm-hmm. And the fourth round pick they got back, I think it ended up being Marco Wilson. But if they never traded for Hopkins, they would have kept their pick in they would have kept their pick in 2020 in the second round. Mm-hmm. So they would have got a player in the second round. They would have had a 2021 fourth rounder. They also would have had their first rounder because they wouldn't have traded for Hollywood Brown. So they would have kept their first rounder. And by the way, they would have had a lot of money to spend in free agency that wasn't spent on DeAndre Hopkins.
I'm following you with this hypothetical, and I think it's a really thoughtful question.
2 years later, if I could go back and redo it, I would. I wouldn't have made that trade. It didn't work out.
I tell you, my lack of faith in Steve Keim to draft with those picks leaves me thinking I'm okay with what they did, because there's no guarantees they would have hit on that second round.
I don't know who they would have got. Look at the players that were available in the second round. I do know that they would have taken Linderbaum with the pick instead of Hollywood Brown.
And that would have felt good to know that the center position is locked up. It was also interesting to hear Jonathan Gannon today say that the center position is fine for the Arizona Cardinals. Like, no, it's not. But I would still do it. Just because I admit it, I'm
okay.
You know, I had very little faith at that point in Steve Keim to make a good draft pick. It had just gotten to that point where it was just hard to believe that he was going to make a good pick. And he's made good picks, especially in the second round. That seemed to be his kind of sweet spot when it came to the draft. I didn't mind going for it. I didn't mind taking that big swing, going to get that big guy while you still had Kyler under his rookie contract, right? Because when you've got the quarterback under the rookie contract, that's kind of your open window to go for it, right?
Yeah.
That's your permission slip from the NFL to get, hey, you got a quarterback under a rookie contract. He's not making anything. We're giving you permission to go for it right now and see what you can make happen. I wouldn't change a thing.
Jonathan Taylor was available in that second round. Trayvon Diggs was available in that second round. Jalen Hurts. I mean, there was some good players.
They weren't going to take Jalen
Hurts. We don't know who they would have taken.
They wouldn't have taken him.
I'm just looking at it now and boy, like, man,
would you not do it?
If I could go back.
If you go back, you wouldn't do it.
Look, I mean, it was, at the time, it was a hell of a trade and it seemed like a steal. But What did you get out of Hopkins? I mean, for 2 years, he hasn't played many games. You got to the playoffs. He didn't even play in that playoff game. And you got blown out.
Let's sock this away in our memory banks. That might be a good poll question for tomorrow, while Twitter still allows us to
If you could go back and do it again, you would have had a second-round pick in 2020. You would have had your first-round pick last year because you would not have traded for Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, and that reminds me, Eric, my apologies. We've rearranged when we do the Twitter poll updates, and we were supposed
Elon
to.
Elon got to you, man.
I know he did. He's in my head now. We were supposed to update
you don't
Twitter
for that blue
question
checkmark.
At 4:45, and we didn't. That's my apologies, Eric. We took airtime away from you. We didn't mean to. Our bad. Go an extra minute on the next update.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
Real quick, update us on the poll question.
86.8% of our audience think the Cardinals should exercise the fifth-year option on Isaiah Simmons. What about you guys?
86%. I'm a no. Don't do it.
I would.
Don't do it.
And that's
tired of losing good players.
Hey, you can undo it. You can undo that if you want to at the end of the season. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, finally, an explanation on the Cardinals' slow offseason from the head coach himself. What did Jonathan Gannon have to say about the free agent market? You'll hear it next. Burns and Gambo.